Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 system support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org. Tested is also sponsored by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
I'm Leonida Inge. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, putting COVID center stage. One big challenge during this coronavirus pandemic has been getting testing to the people. When I say the people, I'm mostly referring to Black people and the Latinx population who have disproportionately suffered and died from COVID-19. There have been all kinds of high-profile attempts at getting the attention of these communities. Perhaps you caught filmmaker Tyler Perry's BET special, aimed at instilling more trust in the vaccine from Black people. Well, one way to spread the word about racism and health disparities is to put it front and center on stage. In this game show, contestants are playing Defining Moment.
You got this, girl.
All right, let's get it.
1981.
Oh, HIV and AIDS.
2002.
SARS.
2009.
H1N1 swine flu.
In this game show, contestants are playing Defining Moment, and then the winner answers the final question.
2019.
That's easy. That would be the coronavirus.
All right, Tasha. You're our winner at raising awareness. You finish with 3,000 points, which means you take home $30,000.
Wow.
But guess what else you win?
An at-home COVID care kit with hand sanitizer, gloves, masks, some household cleaning products, thermometer, and some over-the-counter meds.
Staying safe is important. So, Tasha, is there anything else you want to say to the crowd?
Yes, there is, Bill.
Welcome to
Crisis of Moments!
Crisis of Moments!
A Crisis of Moments is a play written by Dasan Ahanu. The ethnodrama was born out of a partnership between North Carolina Central and Duke Universities. Dasan says it was an honor to entertain and educate his community on COVID-19.
Definitely, I wrote it to my people. I wanted them to laugh. I wanted them to get the references and get the jokes. I wanted them to be able to have that moment because of how heavily affected they are and how hard it hit the Black community. So we needed as much of that joy as possible.
For years, when faced with crisis, we've heard what was needed was an adequate and sustained response. Time, effort, resources, and research to provide timely and informed decision-making intended to save lives. Why?
Such a waste.
It is, but now we have a solution. What you need is benign neglect. This all-in-one solution has all kinds of misguided responses, such as, this outbreak will be temporary. We will be over this in no time.
Don't feel pressured to actually care about the well-being of others. Try.
Try benign neglect.
A Crisis of Moments comes in 7 vignettes, 3 hilarious news breaks, which includes a run on toilet tissue, and 3 commercials, like the one you just heard, Benign Neglect. The skits were performed and recorded on the NCCU campus in a relatively empty space, directed by Stephanie Asabi Howard. Actors wore these space-age-looking clear face masks, which included a microphone. Dasan says the opportunity to write this play came right on time for the community and for him.
To be honest, I didn't think a lot about being the playwright because, I'm in the pandemic too, and I needed as many creative outlets as possible. Because one of the things that happened with this is that all of our creative outlets as artists, like all of everything just got canceled. It wasn't anything we were able to predict. And so our world artistically just all shut down. And none of us have ever, not anyone in my peer group or younger has ever experienced that before in our lives. And so I really dove into this just really a lot, really jumping in and being immersed and being able to be creative and creative with a purpose, because it was about what was happening and what I was in the midst of. It really gave me kind of a way to both do good, but also kind of escape. And I really didn't think about myself as a playwright until the script was done and we started to have conversations about the feedback. Then the playwright hat came out and I was like, oh wow, like this is really good. Like this can really be impactful.
And especially in this time of COVID, I think it's always good if you can add a little humor and seriousness together to get the message across. So how did you approach writing these vignettes?
So that was the first intent, was thinking about what I wanted to say and what needed to be said and the best way to be able to do that. The one thing that I've gotten asked in this project is to try not to make it too heavy, to not invite people into a space to watch a production that just weighs on them. And so I was like, okay, so where can we find the right, what balance? How can I figure that out? And I was like, well, I feel like thinking about how during 2020, how often we looked to SNL, like when something happened, we're like, we can't wait to see what they do with this. And I was like, well, that's been a powerful vehicle, comedy, sketch comedy, to be able to, deconstruct some of these things and be able to put some real necessary truth in it.
I like to know, how personal was it for you to even be a part of a project like this?
My mom's a nurse and my aunt's a nurse, but I also have a cousin who's a CNA, and she was diagnosed with COVID early in the spring. And so the family was, everybody was just, scared. It was new. Nobody knew. And she was in quarantine. And she ended up being fine. She, her and her kids ended up pulling through fine. But that was sort of my frame of reference, was just those conversations. Also hearing, the plight of essential workers, because my mom and my aunt were both struggling with their, my aunt works in the hospital. My mom works for an agency, and both were having struggles outfitting their nurses with everything they need. And so my mother does at-home care. Just listening to the stories of, and then there are other essential workers that are a part of my family and part of my inner circle. And so there's just a lot of ideas and things swirling around when I finally sat down to write this. And also, I'm involved in the arts and everything was canceled. Like there were just so many critical conversations that I was a part of at the same time. And so that was a big influence on trying to sift through that, especially some of the conversations that were happening in the Black community.
So this had to be, as they say, sweet like cotton candy. You got to bring it all together. You got to include your art, and in a way you get to educate your friends and family. I did find some spots, definitely much joy,
but there was there were a couple vignettes I was a little, I'm not saying it scared me a little, because I said, wow, this is heavy. It was the one where I guess a researcher was testing a subject, and then they would place the heaviness, I guess, of the answers, or they would place a noose around her neck, and she ended up kind of like, I'm out of here, you know. But please explain that one to me.
So that's a powerful scene, and I really have to give credit to Dr. Asabi, because the decision about the noose was hers. And that's just that she had a great vision for directing this piece, because that just really brought out what I was trying to convey, and what I wrote was just this all of the heaviness we bear. And what it was complicating factors that Black people have. So the other health issues that already affect our community add to the risk because of what COVID does to your immune system. And so those, it starts to target and heighten these other issues. And so what that does is it means we carry, you know, this burden of all of these other things we've been fighting and struggling with in our communities in this moment, in a way that some other communities don't. And to be able to add that subtle piece, not only talks about our health, but also really makes a statement about our place societally in America, you know, and the history and legacy of some of the kinds of inequities that we face that contribute to some of these health disparities. So that was that I love when I saw that in the rehearsal, I was like, oh my goodness, that's such a brilliant way to bring this home.
What would you like to see, you know, the future of this production?
I want to see our churches. I want to see our teachers use it. And I would love to see this be a piece in terms of having access to the script, that it can be redone, it can be used. I would love to see community organizations. I think it's a powerful starting point, and watching the conversation that happened after that, I think that can be replicated, where it can be, we wanted it to not be too long for that reason, that it can be done and used as the starting point for some really critical conversations after, especially as we're gonna be spending the rest of the immediate time in the next year and a half, continuing to think about the effects of COVID, but also trying to think about the vaccine. So there's still some conversations to have. And I believe that this play is a great starting point for being able to have those conversations. So that's what I want to see happen. I want this to become a tool that can pass through our communities and add that art, that artistic element to what we're talking about. So an issue that's really, really serious and very grave.
Dasan Ahanu is the playwright behind A Crisis of Moments, directed by Stephanie Asabi Howard. The performance is a partnership between the North Carolina Central University Accord team and the Duke Clinical and Translational Science Institute. More in a moment. Before we move on in the show, I have a question for you. Are you ready to co-create the world we want to live in? Then I recommend you join the community listening to Our Body Politic, a political podcast that's by and for women of color, with everyone welcome to join the feast. The show offers a new view of the news, making politics personal, with host Faraya Chidea, a veteran Black woman journalist who has reported all over the U.S. from Standing Rock to Air Force One and covered every presidential election from 1996. Each week, with her passion and decades of experience, Farai gets real with women you need to hear from, like Senator Tammy Duckworth, Representative Rashida Tlaib, journalist Amna Nawaz, author N.K. Jemisin, and more. So if you want your political news to lift you up and be useful in your daily life, check out Our Body Politic. Subscribe to Our Body Politic wherever you listen to podcasts. In this time of COVID-19, it's easy to find ourselves restless, not being able to frequent movie theaters, sporting events, or concert halls like we used to. But the show must go on. Wynton Marsalis and his orchestra have performed live in Chapel Hill at Memorial Hall since the beginning of Carolina Performing Arts at UNC. And a special performance, one he wrote during the pandemic, will be streamed virtually next month. You're listening to it now, The Democracy Suite, by the Jazz at Lincoln Center Orchestra Septet with Marsalis. Bringing audiences great performances during COVID hasn't been easy. Christina Rodriguez is a spokesperson for Carolina Performing Arts.
It's certainly a change, although we've been in this situation for almost a year now, which I know is really hard for everybody to believe. In last March, we canceled the remainder of our season through May, and it was our 15th anniversary, so it was very bittersweet, but it was certainly what needed to happen. And so I think everybody at Carolina Performing Arts and at our colleagues across the country and really across the world really began going back to the drawing board in some ways to figure out how we can still maintain the experiences and the inspiration and the benefits that people get from arts and culture. I think anybody who works in the arts will say that it's really an essential part of life. It's certainly under, you know, food and housing, but I think the ways that the performing arts or the written word or what have you, or visual art fills people's cups is incredibly important and even more important in this time we're in, where, you know, people are struggling and, you know, facing loss and everybody's really experiencing the grief of the situation that we're all in.
Now, I know the kickoff of this season is a tried and true crowd pleaser. I mean, Tift Merritt, not only just locally in the North Carolina region and the South, but all over. People love Tift Merritt. So I'm wondering, how is she going to perform? Is she going to be filmed at her home studio, or is she coming actually to the Carolina Performing Arts Center to be filmed there? How does this work?
Well, so what we're doing with Tift is actually an interview series, and it's based on a series she had done some years ago with Marfa Public Radio called The Spark. And we've had a long relationship with Tift, and, you know, she's a North Carolina girl, she's local, and CPA has always wanted to have some sort of longer term partnership with her. And, you know, our programming director, in conversations with her last year, realized that this was a really wonderful opportunity to take what had actually been a podcast and turn it into a sort of video podcast live stream series. So we had kicked off our version of The Spark with Tift Merritt in September of last year, and we'll be picking it back up, as you say, in February. She's going to be interviewing Sandeep Das, who is just an incredibly renowned tabla player. He's just really world-renowned for his position in Indian classical music, and he's played at CPA several times. So they generally will have about an hour's interview with an audience Q&A, and they've been just some of the most inspiring experiences even our staff has had in the last several months, getting to see artists talk with each other about their craft, about the challenges of this time, and much more.
Carolina Performing Arts at UNC Chapel Hill kicks off its 16th season next month, one that is entirely virtual. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Leonita Inge. Rebecca Martinez produced this episode. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.